Blog Talk Radio.
The extra point is up, and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and everybody and their mother have been asking, where is Coach Howard? Now, you don't have to be my best friend to know that if you've been around me for the last 31 seasons, on a Saturday in the fall, I'm coaching football. And so that's where I've been. We've been on the road over here at Bishop Ireton High School. I've got some early games and just, hey, got to get locked in, loaded on our kickoff. We got kickoff today at 1 o'clock, but we wanted to make sure we got back on the air. I appreciate all the support while we were out. Got tons of email, Twitter, appreciate that. And but, hey, it is what it is. Sometimes football gets in the way. Football is life, and so football always comes first. So, hey, it's good to be back. We got a great show today. Speaking of football, you know what? I thought I'd do something a little bit different. We've had some really good guests on the Extra Points Radio Show, and they got a whole bunch of name recognition and this, that, and the other. But, you know, sometimes I'm always a champion for the little guy. In this case, there's not a little guy. Henry Somerville, left tackle for Bishop Ireton High School. He's the captain of our team. I call him Big Red. Call him Big Red because he's got the reddest hair on the planet. Looks like his head's on fire. But anyway, Big Red has really earned going through a tough season here. He has really earned a shot at some spotlight, a shot at some shine, and really he's going to get a shot next season when he's playing college football. So I'm excited about having Big Red, Henry Somerville, on the show. Also, we're going to have Super Referee Craig Muckle give us a little basketball wrap up here. We got the season's just starting already. There's been a fight. There was a fight last night. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about just some of the trades that were made in the offseason, how they're playing out. But most importantly, what I want to hear from Super Referee Craig Muckle is the Hoyas. You know, the Hoyas have been really under the radar. Went out, signed Patrick Ewing. I'm okay with it. But we'll have to see if he can make the transition from NBA to collegiate coaching. Basically, we got to see if he can recruit. I have not heard a ton of recruiting stuff out there. So we'll see what happens. But before we do that, and I know everyone has missed the pay attention topics. Our pay attention topics, or we call them PATs, it's not point after touchdown. But here, it's the kind of low-hanging fruit that's on the back page of the sports page. What I decided to do since we've been out for a couple weeks is just try and give a recap on a couple local things here. And one of the local things that happened that we could talk about is Dusty Baker. So when last the Extra Points Radio Show was on the air, the Nats were in first place. They were about to clinch the NL East, head on to the playoffs, and hopefully to a World Series victory. Instead, they did win the NL East, they did march on to the playoffs, and were ousted by the Cubs. And, you know, cold decisions, cold business, but he's out in the cold. Dusty Baker. Playoffs, no World Series, equals fired. So, great guy, nice guy, but, you know, no World Series. And for those of you that have been coaching long enough, first of all, a couple things. One, if you coach long enough, you'll get fired. Yours truly could attest to that. Second, if you spend the money that the Nets spent on that lineup and you come up empty, you're going to be short, man. You're going to get fired. So, you know, and he should have saw the writing on the wall, to be honest with you. They only signed him for 2 years, you know, $4 million, which is only $2 million a year. Like, that's no money in Major League Baseball. So they weren't heavily vested anyway. So, Duff, you're a good guy, man. I hate to see you go, but you're gone. Now let's see who replaces him. I know Girardi's out there. I know Farrell from the Red Sox is out there. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, hey, it is what it is. We could talk about that for a while, but that is not our pay attention topic, and nor is this one, but we'll give it a little chatter. Our Washington Capitals, 4-5-1 record out the gate. This is a good thing. Let me tell you why. First of all, Obi's playing very well. I mean, Obi looks like his rookie season right now. He's on fire. So that's good. But the record remains average, and that's a good thing, because at least for Caps fans, because we've blistered right through the NHL schedule, right? And we've won the division, we've won the conference. And then we get to playoff time. We got all this home ice advantage. No Stanley Cup. Question to you, Caps fan, is now that we're kind of doing the opposite and we're struggling through a basically average 500 season, does this mean that we get to the playoffs and advance and go to the Stanley Cup and then let talent take over, get rid of the curse, and just let talent take over? And when that happens, Maybe you win the Stanley Cup. I don't know. We'll see. That is not our pay attention topic. Now, we could talk about the Wizards. I'm going to leave some of that for Super Referee Craig Muckle. But I will say this: much better start than last year's 1-7 start. They're competitive against the champ. Last night, the Golden State Warriors, they were up 15 in the fourth quarter and fell apart. Of course, there was a little fight, and we'll talk about that later. But they lost to the Lakers the night before. So, you know, Gortat, keep your mouth shut. You know, maybe if you just shut up and they go play a bad Laker team, don't get them fired up, and maybe you'll go ahead and you just let them lay down and you win, and now you're 6-0. But instead, now you're 4-2, and, you know. But the Wizards will be fine. I think I see another average finish. Really, I do. I see them kind of doing what the Caps normally do, blistering right through the regular season, and then just lethargic in the playoffs and out. So, you know, we'll see. I hope not, because their coach gets paid a ton of money to be a champion. And so he's only in his second year. We got 5 more years of this. we need a championship here. I mean, you know, we got Wall, we got Beal. And Otto Porter, who pumped in, you know, 30 last night, did a really nice job, had a good game in Beal's absence for the ejection. So we'll see. But that is not our pay attention topic. There's only one team left. There's only one team left. You can guess what the pay attention topic is. You guessed it. America's team. That's right. The Washington Redskins. Well, the way I want to talk about them is I actually kind of want to slowly break down each position. Okay, so let's start with the offensive line, which is my favorite and most important. I just can't coach it. It's injured. It needs to heal fast. Last week, they had Chase Rouye playing center and then moved him to right guard and then back to center. Yeah, I'm telling you. They are in trouble. They only got 3 tackles, and 2 of them are hurt. So if this thing doesn't get healthy fast, losing streak coming. Receiver, very average. You know, when you look at what you had last year in Garcon and D-Jax, now I knew this was going to happen because they got rid of those guys and replaced them with average guys. Crowder is he's not a number 2 guy. He's a third guy. He's too small. He's a third guy. He's a slot guy. And here's the other thing. There's no one on the receiving core that's threatening, to include Jordan Reed. I mean, quite honestly, Davis is more threatening than Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed, what's threatening about Jordan Reed is if he bumps his head one more time, he's done. He's done. And he's playing that way. You can tell. So they're very average at the receiving core. Running back, same as the receiving cores, really. I mean, yeah, I like Piron. I think he's an old-school throwback running back. Kelly, to me, is underachieving. But Chris Thompson is the bright spot. And other than Tress Way, Chris Thompson is probably the most valuable player on the team right now. He is explosive. He is threatening, but he doesn't play every down. And so that makes it tough. Quarterback, I think the quarterback's been playing well, well enough to be traded to the San Francisco 49ers. Let them pay him $30 million or whatever it is. Still throws, you know, interceptions when it's bad time to throw interceptions. Still, you know, the conversion on third down, not very good. He's average. He's a fourth-round pick. He's an average quarterback in the league. Shouldn't be paid what he's paid. But I think he's having a good season. It's not his fault. Their losses are not his fault. I think they were just outplayed and a little bit outcoached. Flip over to defense a little bit. The D-line's improved. I think it's deeper. And when it's deeper, I think it gets some rest. And, you know, I love the kid, Ioannidis, the nose tackle. He doesn't play every down, but he's playing really well. Ziggy Hood's probably the most disappointing, but he's also the oldest, so he's just kind of plugging a hole right now. But they're deeper. I like the D-line. Tom Sula's got them moving around. Linebackers, just absolutely faster. And I love Tom Compton, and he's a good player, and he's the captain of the team and all that. But they are fast at linebacker. I mean, even Kerrigan looks more athletic this year. I like this linebacker core. I'm not a odd front person. So, you know, the four linebacker thing, not crazy about that. Mason Foster's a little banged up. I don't know if Mason Foster plays anywhere else, but he fits this defense, so it works. DBs, questionable. Questionable and inconsistent. I got to tell you this, and people are going to laugh when I say this, but actually the backups have played better than the starters. I mean, Quentin Dunbar, he's covered his guys like blankets. Now, he's given up a couple third downs, and I mean a couple, like two. But, I mean, he's played really, really good coverage. I just think with Breland's been a little banged up and has been beaten a couple times. And, of course, Norman's been out, so that makes it a challenge. Swearinger's playing well, good leadership. Last game wasn't the best, but really, really good leadership. Hell of a hitter still hitting people. So they're questionable and they're inconsistent. Special teams has been solid. I think the tackling's gotten a lot better. They did lose the kicker, Dustin Hopkins, so got to get a new kicker on that. But they've been solid. Tressway's the most, seeing the ball at times. So there have been games where I know the Cincinnati game, he basically threw the team out of the game. I mean, he just kept throwing. I'm going, you don't like Samaje Perine or what? I mean, I know it was Kelly's first game out, but come on, give me a break, Jay Gruden. So I know this. Here's another thing, and you got to be a real student of the game to watch. Watch the Redskins' clock management. It is really – I know high school coaches who clock manage better than Jay Gruden, myself included in that. Jay Gruden is the worst. He's not urgent when he needs to be urgent, and I don't get that. So I don't know. It is what it is. But anyway, hey, that is our pay attention topic for today. We're going to take this quick break and come right back. And my man, Big Red, I love that nickname for him. If you saw his hair, I'm telling you, it looks like the thing is on fire. And it'll be on fire this afternoon as he's protecting our quarterback's backside. So we'll come right back with Big Red. As always, we got to go to break with Chuck Brown. I have not heard Chuck in over a month. I'm fiending for some Chuck Brown. Here we go. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. We'll be right back. You know, Chuck's got a great line in there. I don't need no wealth and fame. And I'm telling you, I think that best describes our guest today on the Extra Points Radio Show. Bishop Ireton, left tackle and captain of the team, Henry Somerville, or as I like to call him, Big Red. Big Red, are you there?
Yeah, Coach Howard, I'm here.
There he is. There he is. You know what's funny about having you on the show is that you don't really talk much. In practice, you show up, put on your stuff, go out, you know, hit kids, knock them in the ground, take your stuff off, and you go home. I mean, you're a lineman, I guess is what I could call you. Tell me what it's like being a student athlete. You're at a private school with tons of high academic standards. What's it like to juggle, you know, the grades and then go out and really lead a high school football team? What's that like?
Well, it's definitely been challenging over these past 4 years at Bishop Ireton. It's been a hard curriculum, but it's definitely been rewarding, and I've seen it pay off. I've learned a lot, and I've learned a lot of time management skills, especially balancing football and leading this team throughout the off season and weight room and everything. So it's definitely been rewarding, but it's been a great experience, and I love every minute of it.
There you go. And let me ask you this. You talked about some of the lessons learned, and time management's one of them. You know, you take pretty good care of your body. Most big guys kind of just eat whatever, this and that. But I noticed you wear two knee braces. Like, how do you stay, you know, fit and make sure that, you know, that body is your machine? How do you take care of that thing? What is that a lesson that you've learned, is to take care of your body?
Yeah, definitely. I learned that my freshman year as I started getting like a little bigger, and I spent a lot of time in the weight room working my flexibility and things, so that when the season came and it was the end of the season, I was ready to go, and I wasn't one of the guys that were walking around fatigued and hurt and limping everywhere. So it definitely started in the weight room, as well as eating cleaner during the season and like cutting out soda, drinking a lot of water, eating pretty clean.
Wow. And you know, it's funny because most high school players, and this is why I wanted to have you on the show, because you already sound like a college player. I mean, the way you carry yourself, I watch you real close. It's very much like a college player. What are the next steps? Now you're winding down your career here. You've got a game today at 1 o'clock. You've got your last one. You and I together, we've got our last game next Friday. What after that? What are the next steps for Big Red? Where is he going? What's he doing?
Well, I'm planning on playing football at the next level. I'm currently undecided though, but I have a couple options. So, some of my top schools right now are Fordham in New York City, Bucknell, and the Catholic University of America.
Well, you know, I like all of those schools. I'll just warn you, because we've got a bunch of New York people listening, I'll just warn you that if you get on their subway, the rats drive the train. So I just you know, don't be alarmed if you see a rat driving the train there. So here's the thing now. What do you do between – you know, next Friday at about 5 o'clock, that clock is going to wind down. I'm going to stand right next to you. We'll do that together. But then what do you do the day after and the week after and the week after to get to one of these fine schools? What's the plan?
Well, I'm going to take a couple of official visits. So I'll go up to Fordham at the end of November, go to one of their games and visit. And then I guess I'm just going to sit down with my parents and look at my options and go on from there, which is the best fit academically and for football, and see what I want to do, because I want to go into I want to have a major in business. So I have to see which academically, because I'm all about academics, which academically will help me thrive.
Right. And it's funny because, again, you're talking like a college coach. You really speak about the academics first. You do. You talk about, because I think you know, right, that the chances of making the NFL for any high school player are slim. Right, they're really, really slim. So you've got to be prepared for, you know, what after football. Tell me this. Tell me about you've got a coach that pours in so much time with you. Kevin Barger over here at Bishop Ireton High School put so much time into this team and this program, and he's taken a liking to you. I've watched him with offensive linemen. But tell me some of the. I know he's an influence, but tell me some of the other folks that have influenced you throughout your playing career here so far.
Well, I've been blessed at Ireton to have some great coaches from my freshman year to when Coach Barger got here at the end of my sophomore year. It's definitely been a great experience. I've learned a lot. Coach Brown, who's the assistant athletic director, is also the head wrestling coach. He's helped me improve my mental everything. So he's helped me a lot, and you can't underestimate Coach Barger's work. Once he got here my sophomore year, he spent the summer in the weight room with me, got me bigger, stronger, faster. He's helped me through everything, through academics, helped make harping on finishing out strong and just focusing in on what I have to do each and every single day.
Yeah, I was of course with Coach Barger at Catholic University and watched him really what I call love up on the O-line, because the O-line doesn't get any, you guys get no fame, no glory. I mean, what's that like to see, the running backs running around and the quarterback, I tease our quarterback because his hair never comes out of place. Like, I mean, these guys get all the attention. They get all the credit. What is that like to kind of walk off feeling nobody says, good block or anything? What's that like?
I mean, it's a lot of glory within the group of offensive linemen. We all support each other, so it's really we don't really need all the screaming fans and everything. When we know we did our job, we're happy with that. We're happy that the other guys can get their moments of glory and everything. And we know it all starts up front. And I think that the team even knows that. The running backs are always saying good job, and the quarterbacks always thanking us for their time. But we all know that if we don't do our job, the team can't do their job. So it's a lot of self-motivation within the group.
Well, that's good. Talking to Henry Somerville, a.k.a. Big Red at Bishop Ireton High School, our left tackle, starting left tackle. Now, your job is, in my opinion, left tackle is the most important position on a football field. But yours is even more because you lost your starter to injury, lost the backup to injury, and now your third string young guy, Josh Webb, who's doing a fine job. But, I mean, you lose another quarterback, you're down to a fourth string. Just ask the Redskins who their fourth-string quarterback is. I mean, they don't know. You feel any added pressure knowing that you're protecting the backside of the third stringer now?
I mean, I know Josh is a good guy, and he knows all the plays and everything. He's been dedicated to this program since he was, probably sixth grade with his older dad's a coach. So he's been dedicated. He knows all the plays. I feel comfortable with him back there. I'm not worried. He knows what to do. He's a good leader on the team as well. But I know my guys realize that it's a third string, and we only have two more games, so we got to keep Josh healthy for these next two games so that we can finish up the season strong.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you're doing that. Now, what about we talk about left tackle a lot, but what about defense? Now, I know you're the biggest guy on the team, right? Big man on campus. But you don't play a lot of defense. Now tell us about that. Does that bother you? Do you want to play defense, or tell me what goes into the thought process of the biggest guy not being on defense a lot?
Well, I think what it is that when we come off the field on after an offensive drive, I usually gather the offensive linemen, figure out what's going on, so that we can be more successful the next drive. So I'm usually the one I lead on the sidelines when the defense is out there. So I'm pretty sure that's probably why I don't play much defense, so that we can figure out what we're doing as an offense to click.
So you're almost like an extension of the coach, really. That's what I hear is that, because, again, they're young guys that play on the offensive line as well. And so you got to kind of bring them over and coach them up a little bit in between series, which, again, just really, really, is a testimony to how hard you've worked and how a great, great college player you're going to be. Let's close with I got to ask you about today's game. Paul the Sixth went over to their place last year, won that game. That was a hard-fought game all the way down to the last play. I don't know if this is a rivalry game or not, but I know both teams are looking – for a win, and what are your thoughts on you kick off and 2.5 hours here. What are your thoughts going in?
I mean, we've approached every game the same, but we know that this game is something special to us because these are some of the kids that we grew up with. It's some of the kids we played youth ball with. So, and we know that they've had us scheduled on, or they've had us circled on their schedule over the past 12 months. So they know. So we know that this means something to them. So we prepared all week. We watched a lot of film. I know the coaches have watched endless film preparing for their triple option attack. So I feel pretty comfortable about what's going to happen today. I know when we go out there, we're going to come out fast. So
there we go. Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you this. I'm going to make my prediction at the end of the show here today. But one thing that has me leaning towards Bishop Ireton, other than the fact that I coach right here, is Big Red showed up at school the other day with some Tims on, untied. And when a lineman does that, they are locked and loaded. So, hey, Big Red, man, it's a pleasure not only to coach you, but to know you. And I'm wishing you nothing but the best of success as your season winds down and your career winds down at Bishop Ireton and you make your decision to go play college football at the next level.
Yeah, thank you, Coach.
All right, Henry Somerville, a.k.a. Big Red. And, man, I tell you, you couldn't find a better kid than that guy right there. I mean, if you see him, he doesn't look like a kid. He looks like a grown-a man. He's a big, big guy. So, hey, I want to thank, my New York contingency hung in there with me while I was out coaching. And I see my guy Kingsley's out there. So, Kingsley, I got to ask you, I'm coming to you here in a second. I'm going to ask you what in the heck is going on with the Giants here. They are in last place right now.
Yeah.
So, Kingsley from New York, first of all, thank you so much for always looking out and listening to the Extra Points Radio Show. What is up with your Giants, Kingsley? What's going on, man? They're terrible.
Injury, man. Our two main receivers.
Kingsley, come on, man. They everybody's got injuries. You can't blame them on that. Right, that's all you can do is laugh. Typical New York, you guys always got to come up with some lame excuse. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you're a baseball fan, but I see Girardi rolled out on the Yankees, just rolled out. New York's falling apart, Kingsley. It's falling apart.
It's been a tough year, but we'll be back next year.
You'll be back next year. Okay, I got you. Well, look, man, while I was away, you kept listening. You kept looking for the show. You're our number one fan. There's no doubt about it, man. So I appreciate you doing that.
All right.
Kingsley from New York. That guy's amazing. So, hey, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention while we wait for our segment with Super Referee Craig Muckle and before I go to break is you did hear me mention that next Friday, I'm going to coach my last football game. And I can tell you, I try not to even talk about it because just talking about it makes me sad. Most people think that I'm just, just saying it just to be saying it for effect. But, you know, I've coached a long, long time. And people always say, how did you coach 31 seasons? Well, there were a couple years that I coached two teams. So I coached Catholic University in the fall, and I coached the D.C. Divas in the spring. And so it was like year round football. And so, you know, now, it's hard, you know, it's hard to get to practice every day. It's just hard to put in the time that I want. Now I will say this, if there's a perfect scenario for me to be a head coach, I'll do it. But other than that, I just want to give back. And that's really how I've spent the last couple seasons. Just giving back to other coaches, younger coaches. There's a ton of experience in here. And, man, when I think about just some of the guys, I mean, you know, Mike Godfrey, I mean, at Pittsburgh, Coach Godfrey took me when I wanted to walk on as a football player, and he said, nope, we're going to put you in this program. We're going to teach you how to be a coach. And then Coach Godfrey got fired. And so I worked for Paul Hackett for a year, which was great, one of the great offensive minds out there. And I shared an office with John Harbaugh, who's now the head coach of the Ravens. and Mike McCarthy, who's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And, man, just I could name so many coaches, at least a dozen from Pitt, that sewed into me and taught me how to be a coach. And then I went on to Crossland High School as a JV coach, and the wrestling coach gave me an opportunity, a guy named Desi Brown. So, Desi, if you're listening, man, thanks so much for letting me come back to my school. And I wasn't there long, though, because I headed right over to Bishop McNamara. And it's funny how the coaching world works. That was back in 1996, I believe it was. Chip Armstrong was the head coach. Chip's now the defensive coordinator at Bishop Ireton. Chip gave me my first shot at a varsity coaching spot. And now he and I are coaching right next to each other. So, Chip, thanks to you. Stayed there for 4 years. Chip rolled out on us, went to Mount St. Joe's. Chip, how could you do that? But he left us in good hands with Bernard Joseph, who now I coach against. So Bernard's right down the street at St. Stephen, St. Agnes. Again, a small world in the coaching world. Bernard really helped me to get a head job at Crossland High School. But before I went to Crossland, I made one stop at Northwestern and with Coach Ed Shields, who's now the president of the Prince George's Coaching Association and friend of the show. Ed Shields has been on the show many times, and he's a listener every week. So, Coach Shields, hey, man, appreciate you. And then I went and coached my own team. And all I can do is thank the guys that were there with me, especially my core group of guys, Tim Washington, Carlos Garnett, Mike McCauley, and Phil White. And Phil did a couple more stops with me along the way, and I appreciate all of them. And then Dave Dunn. Well, Tom Clark first introduced me to Catholic University. He left, and then Dave Dunn came in, and really, really, I had some fun times. 8 years at Catholic University with Coach Dunn, and that's where I met a younger, slimmer Kevin Barger. That's right, Barger. I just digged you right there because you're my man. But I can tell you what, that's a guy that I've probably put more time into just, you know, what's it like to even be a coach, and to see him be a head coach now. It makes me proud, and I know that he's going to be successful. The guy should be in the NFL, in my opinion. That's how smart of a whip he is at coaching. It's been a pleasure to be with him. And, of course, all the guys on his staff, great staff over here. So, of course, I cannot forget women's football. Rich Daniel, the general manager of the DC Divas, brought me in there as a consultant. And had me 3 yards away from a championship. And then, of course, Tiffany Matthews started the Washington Prodigy and brought me right over to coach the Prodigy and really be the founding father of the Prodigy. So, I mean, I can't even name the number of that's just coaches. I couldn't name the number of players that have been really, really special from you know, the Darnell Dickersons of the world who played quarterback at Pitt all the way to Henry Somerville here at Bishop Ireton. It's been quite a ride. And, you know, who knows what the offseason brings. I'll never say never. But after 375-some-odd regular season games, I don't know how many practices. I'm not a big practice guy, especially when the weather's bad. But it's been a lot of practices. I've only missed one game in 31 seasons. One game. So, hey, you know, the day I got married, I coached the game. When my first daughter was born, I was actually leaving work on my way to football practice. So, you know, it's football has been Americana for me. It's been life. So, hey, kudos. I just talk great my show, and I do whatever the hell I want. So, speaking of doing whatever I want, right now, I got it. This music is the theme for the pro wrestler Kurt Angle to come to the ring. Kurt Angle headlined a pay-per-view last Sunday. Small world. So speaking of you stuff, and I know you guys missed me during the 4 weeks that we were out. I know you missed Super Referee Craig Muckle. Super Referee Craig Muckle, are you there?
Good morning. I am.
All right. There he is. Now, the rumor is, and I don't know because my crack staff is been underpaid lately. But the rumor is you were spotted at a bowling alley. So I got to ask you real quick, is bowling a sport or a game?
It's a sport, okay? And I was the bowling publicist at ESPN. And so it's a sport, and I'm an avid bowler. So it's absolutely a sport.
You know what? We need to do a segment on bowling. Because I think it's ever since this episode of the Flintstones where Fred got his hand stuck in the ball, I have not been a fan of the sport. So, but hey, let's dive right into this NBA. I know there was a lot of moves, this, that, and the other. Is anything shocking so far, or is everything kind of true to form league wide? Is it kind of true to form?
Well, you know, it's only been a handful of games literally for all the teams, and I don't think it's going to necessarily be, you know, true to form in the complete sense. I mean, look, the teams that are going to struggle, like my Knicks and, you know, the Lakers, they're going to struggle, okay? I don't think you're going to see a lot of surprises there, but I think the teams that have a chance to be good, that, you know, the teams that – had a lot of movement, like the Celtics, who brought in a lot of new players. Unfortunately, you know, the Gordon Hayward injury, that's really going to hurt them, because, I mean, they look really good against that opening, in the opening game against the Cavaliers, but, you know, that's just going to figure themselves out. I think the Cavaliers, to some degree, have to figure themselves out now. It's Dwayne Wade's on board, Kyrie's gone, Derrick Rose is there. So they, you know, for those teams, they have a lot of new parts. Oklahoma City is another one. You know, there's going to be a lot of adjustment period. But I think at the end of the day, the good teams are going to be good, and the teams that are going to struggle are going to struggle. It's just really a matter of how good the good teams are going to be and how not so good the bad teams will be. I think the one team that will watch out for, though, is the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, they got a lot of young talent. And, you know, this is going to be a season where they figure it out. You know, they may not make they probably won't make the playoffs this year, but they're going to give people a lot of problems.
Well, hold on a minute. Not so fast. And I did reach out to super shooting coach Keith Williams, former Crossland Cavalier, to talk about this Fultz kid. I mean, come on now. It's only been a handful of games, but I don't know. I don't know. What say you? Have you seen him yet? Have you seen him play?
Repeat the question. I had to step into the noisy part of the bowling alley for a second. So who are we asking
about?
Oh,
no problem. Yeah, Fultz, Markelle Fultz. You mentioned the 76ers.
Okay.
I'm still waiting on
Well,
I mean, he was the number one overall
pick,
correct?
Yeah. Well, he was, but he's been hurt a little bit also. I was just reading yesterday that apparently his shoulder's been giving him a problem. And look, a shoulder in basketball is kind of a big deal, especially, you know, if you can't raise your arm fully or your motion is limited, so. I think part of the grunt, you know, part of what someone like him is going to have to figure out, and I think Lonzo Ball, to some degree, you know, may find this as well. The NBA season is a much tougher grind than anything that they went through in college. And, you know, it's
right.
A lot more physicality and stuff like that. You know, he went through a preseason, probably in the same amount of time or more time than you would have necessarily at the college level. So, but I think certainly the physicality of the league, of the practices, is going to take some getting used to. I do think in the overall scheme of things, he will be fine. The other thing I'll say about Markelle, though, he's around some other really good young players, and so I don't think he's going to have to feel like he's got to carry the team. Because I think, Joel Embiid is going to be a monster if he can stay healthy. Ben McDonald, you know, he's going to be good, again, if he finds his game. They've got a lot of good young pieces. It's really, I see them, their biggest thing, aside from health, is going to be how well and how quickly they can gel together as a team.
Well, we'll see what happens. I'm going to keep my eye on that. Now, let's let's focus a little closer to home because there was a brawl last night. I don't know who got the best of it, but the Wiz Kids, you know, what was disappointing was they had a 15-point lead in the fourth and choked. But they choked the night before to the Lakers. So, I mean, I see the same old, I mean, a little faster start, but I kind of see the same old grind with them. What say you on the Wiz Kids?
Well, you know, I think the Wizards are one of those teams, and I hope you can hear me okay, but I think the Wizards are one of those teams that are still, you know, trying to figure it out to some degree. And look, the road in the NBA, you know, is difficult. So, you know, a team like the Wizards, if they can win 50% of their road games, they'll be doing well because they're going to win at home. They have, you know, you know, we saw last year they've got a good team, but I think what they have to combat is whether or not, you know, they can't let it go to their head. You know, last season they had a really good season. So they've got to realize that it's not going to be as easy this year because teams are going to go for that. And so,
you know, it sounds like
a different mindset.
It sounds like you went to a bowling alley and a football game broke out. Let me ask you about the quiet part
of the bowling alley now. So, sorry about
good,
that.
Thank goodness. So let me ask you about Hoya basketball, because on October 13th, Yo Gotti was featured at the Hoya Madness celebration kicking off the season. And, you know, they had some alum come out, Sweetney and Ewing Jr., a couple other guys come out and shoot baskets. I never heard of Yo Gotti. His first album, Youngsters on a Come Up, never heard of that. Didn't know he collaborated with Nicki Minaj. Didn't know any of that. I don't know what's happened to Georgetown basketball. But anyway, are they going to be any good? Are they going to come back? And I mean, they open up with against Jacksonville, who I don't know if they're any good or not. But, I mean, is this team going to be any good or not?
Well, here's what I would say. First of all, I wouldn't necessarily hold out a lot of hope for a big season out of the Hoyas. You know, Patrick Ewing, this is obviously his first time being a head coach at any level, although he's certainly been a coach, you know, an assistant coach, as we know. So I think, you know, this is going to be a season where Patrick's going to install his system, try to, reinvigorate the program to some degree. And I'm not trying to say that JT Leonard Langer could be really good, not, but I think in the last couple of years of his tenure, I just think we didn't see the same, results that Georgetown fans are used to seeing. And I really don't know what kind of players remain on the Georgetown team or who Patrick was able to recruit. You know, I didn't get a sense that they had that big recruiting year this summer or this spring, really. So I think there's going to be a lot of question marks around the Hoyas. And, I think a 500 season in the overall scheme of things would not be a bad deal for them. I don't think they're going to be a disaster by any stretch. But
When you look at the roster, they got some interesting guys on there. One of the guys that they have is George Mirasan's son. He's 6'9", 210 pounds. He's a sophomore. I thought that was interesting. And then they've got a couple New York kids, which is always a good thing. They've got a 7'3" center from Nigeria. So that's, I mean, anytime you can get the big people, that's good. And you know who else they got as an assistant coach? Louis Orr, former Knicks, who I remember as a very bad player, but I'm not a Knicks fan, so hey, it is what it is. So,
but he was a good college player at Syracuse.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, that's not good either. But anyway, so let me ask you this question: Now, you heard me mention I'm going to be coaching my last game next Friday. But you're about to enter. How many seasons have you been a referee? And do you have your schedule yet? Where can we come and boo you? Do we know that yet?
Okay. So, no, I do not have my schedule yet. And, yes, this will be, let's see. This will be my 31st season of officiating.
Wow.
You
so we got the same number. Yep, we got the same number. How many more miles you got on those legs?
I feel great, man. I'm ready to go. And I don't know. I mean, I'm going to look at myself as Dick Pavetta. I'm going to do until at least 72 if my body is willing. So,
now,
I
had a fan reach out and say that you could referee for 10 more years because you haven't blown a whistle in 5 years. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll make sure I write that fan back and tell them they shouldn't have said that about you.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. The one thing I can tell you is that I'm scheduled to do a scrimmage down at Bishop O'Connell High School on the Saturday after Thanksgiving at 10 o'clock, I think it is. So that's where I can... that's where I know you can see me in the fairly near future, because that'll be a scrimmage, and that'll be like the week before they get going. So that should be a pretty intense scrimmage, because most of those Catholic League scrimmages are just that. So that's an early preview of where you can see me. But as we get deeper, as the season approaches, I will give you more of an update.
All right, we love it. Hey, man, I'll let you get back to bowling, which I thought was a game and not a sport.
It's my son that was doing the bowling, by the way. So
I got you.
Today.
Hey, make sure his
tomorrow
hand doesn't get
turn.
Stuck in the ball. Very good.
He doesn't have that problem. All right, man.
Hey, we'll
thanks
send you out the
me.
Right way, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Greg Munson, and he absolutely is that guy's best. Appreciate it, Greg coming in. Hey, now what I'd like to do is to do our 2 minute warning. And one of the things I want to talk about in the 2 minute warning is, let me just let his music, there we go, get that music out of there, is good guys, right? And good guys, you know, finishing first. And I can tell you that I don't believe in or buy into good guys finishing last. I think good guys finish first. And we've had a couple good guys on the show today. And Henry Somerville, again, can't thank you enough for being on the show. And like I said, I love coaching you, but it's even better just knowing you. And you're a good guy. That's gonna win and gonna win in life. You've already won on the field. You'll win in life. And Kevin Barger, who's been coaching you, and he's winning in life. And so good guys do finish first. And I got a quick quote on that you know, never stop doing little things for others. Sometimes those little things occupy the biggest part of their hearts. That's what good guys do. Good guys do little things, and they turn into big things to others. So, good stuff. Hey, we're gonna wrap up a little early, but before we do, I definitely want to talk about some predictions. And so I've got a big game today, Ohio State against Penn State. Now, there's no way in the world that I could root for Penn State. That will never, ever happen in life. But they got a really good team. And you know what? Are they in the top five? Absolutely. They are. But not so fast. Not after today. I think Urban Meyer out-coaches against ranked opponents on the road. And I think being away from Happy Valley, the pig farm that it is, I think you see a JT Barrett. I'm not a big fan of JT Barrett, but I'm going to tell you what. This newfound passing attack that Ohio State has, I think they win that game. And if Ohio State wins this and wins out, I think they're in the top four. So I definitely am going with Ohio State to beat Penn State. That's easy. Next stop, Dodgers. I got the Dodgers bouncing back, and beating the Astros. Now, do I think the Dodgers are better than the Astros? No. But I think they win this series. I do. I think they just got a grit about them. And I think, honestly, the worst thing that could happen to the Astros was going up 2-1. I really do. I think that that's going to hurt them. So we'll see what happens. And then finally, well, I'm going to say that. I'm going to save my last pick because I do want to go through the top 10 real quick and just see where we are. So Boomer Sooners at number 10. I think that they're 6-1. I see them, even if they win out and keep the one loss, the one loss was a bad loss. I can't squeeze them into my top four. I'm sorry. I think there'll be just other teams better. Notre Dame, my favorite, except for the University of Pittsburgh. I think Notre Dame, if they win out, I see them in the top four. There's no bowl. Top bowl is going to turn down Notre Dame and that fan base and the money that'll be on the table. So and they got one loss to Georgia, you know, one loss to a Georgia team that's ranked third, and they lost by a point. So the U is back. They're legit. They're for real. They're 6-0. I don't know if winning out and winning the ACC is going to be enough. I think they're going to be odd man out. I really do. With Clemson's loss, even if they face Clemson and beat them and win the ACC, it's just not going to be enough. Clemson 6-1. Nope, the one loss killed them. They're done. They're not going to get in the Final Four. Ohio State wins today. I think they are really, really – you got to look at them as in. I mean, you got to. Now, there's somebody that's got some say on that, and that's Wisconsin, who's 7-0. But if Wisconsin gets one loss and Ohio State has one loss, I think you got to give that to Ohio State. Wisconsin's just a boring brand that a bowl's not going to be interested in. So I don't think they creep in, even though they're right on the doorstep. I don't think they creep in. TCU 7-0. TCU's good. They played Kansas last week, which is like playing, you know, a powder puff football. But by the way, that coach should be fired. You won't talk about firing Kevin Sumlin. What about Coach Biadi at Kansas? Awful, awful. Anyway, TCU, I think they're going to lose somewhere in between. I don't know who it is, but they're going to stub their toe, and one loss and they're done. They're done. Georgia 7-0. You know, they'll have to beat Alabama. They're not going to beat Alabama, so they're out. They're going to be odd man. I think Georgia and Wisconsin and Miami are really odd people out, and it's too bad, but, you know, that's the way it's going to be. Penn State loses today, and that gets them out. They will be out of the playoff conversation. They haven't beat really anybody yet, and sure, they're a heck of a challenge for any team, and especially Ohio State, but they lose today. And then Roll Tide. So here's the thing. They're number one. But they're going to be real dangerous when the playoff comes. They're going to be really, really dangerous because of what happened to them last year. They're going to be locked in. So we'll see what happens. Let me give one more prediction now that we ran through the coaches poll here, and that's Bishop Ireton over Paul the Sixth. Shocker, but that's who I'm picking. And now we're going to go out. And we're going to actually do it. So, hey, I appreciate everybody listening. And we will be back next week. Sorry to miss a couple shows there, but duty called and we had to coach. And again, I just want to thank all of those. I got a text last night from Matt Clark. Matt, I hope you're out there listening. Matt was a player of mine at Crossland. He had little Matt Clark Jr. last night. So when your players start having babies, that's when it's time to stop coaching. So I want to thank all of you who sat in the stands in the freezing rain and the cold, just to see Coach Howard coach. Like I said, I want to thank everybody who gave me a ride to practice or to a game. I want to thank every pilot who flew me from stadium to stadium, every equipment truck driver, every grounds crew person. Everybody, man. One day I want to sit down and write every person that I've come in contact. I've just come in contact with so many great, great people. But really, really, it's the players. It's the players who played for me. I know every quarterback. I know just about every player. If I had my rosters in front of me right now, I'm going to remember those players. So I wrote a book back in December. We launched the book, and I dedicated the book to anyone who's ever played for me. And that's a whole lot of people. So, again, just want to thank all of them. And I know Coach Barger is waiting for me to get ready to get going here and win a football game. So, hey, Dave Dunn, you gave me a great quote, 1-0 in a week. So that's what we want to be, 1-0 in a week. Hey, everybody who's listening, I appreciate it. And as always, even with a Redskin new kicker, the extra point is up, and it is good.